The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Excited about the atmosphere and the things that is taking place here at Bethel. God is doing some incredible things, and he's done some incredible things. This morning I want to share a few things with you about our past and try to bring some of you live through this stuff. Some of you have heard some of the stories, but I just want to try to give you, put it all together so that we have an order of how things came to pass. Remember that we're talking about loyal hearts, and this is a loyal hearts campaign. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9, it says that the people gave, and they were talking about giving to the building of the temple, they gave willingly with loyal hearts. Nobody can twist your arm to give. I know some try, but that's not the way the kingdom works. The Holy Spirit convicts you and speaks to you when you're supposed to give and what you're supposed to do. All I can do as pastor, I can stand up here and tell you that I believe everyone should be a part of our campaign. If you're a part of this church and you believe in this church, you should be a part. All you can, what's your part in this is to pray, ask God, we've been dealing with this all along, ask him what you should do. And he will reveal to your heart what you're supposed to do. That, and when you give, you're giving as a loyal heart, a loyal person to this ministry, to me as your pastor and to the leaders and to one another, because we're in this thing together. This is not just it's not a one-man show. It's not all about Pastor Rob. And praise God, it's about us together accomplishing God's kingdom work here. So as we do this, as we talk about this morning, and we have this celebration, of course, we're having a picnic afterwards, but I want everyone to get an idea of the celebration that should be taking place in our hearts, because God has done mighty things, and he's going to continue doing mighty things. He has not brought us out this far to take us back again. I want you to understand that. We're here where we are at this very time in history to do the work of the kingdom. And God has a work for us. He has things for us to accomplish. I don't have all of them in order right now. I just know that God is preparing us, and he has placed some desires in my heart, some things that I believe we need to be working on and be accomplishing. Some of those things are our life groups, and we've talked with Pastor Otis and Ivy, who are heading up our life groups, and we're doing some tweaking and reorganization of our life groups, heading in a new direction with those things, because we believe that we become community through small groups. Now, we come together on Sunday mornings and we celebrate, but you become connected to people through small groups, through eating together, through fellowship with each other, through studying the Word together, for sharing your heart, praying for one another. Sometimes people come in here and they need prayer and they don't necessarily get the kind of prayer that they need, but I can tell you, in small group, you will get the prayer you need. Because people will pray for you. They want to pray for you. You're able to share your heart. It's good things. So these are the kind of things that I believe that the direction, some of the direction that we're heading. But I want to talk to you this morning about the journey of Bethel. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And I believe that the journey of Bethel is a walk of faith. And I'll be able to share some things with you this morning that you will see how God has been faithful to us as we've done our best to be faithful to him. You know, we can never be as faithful to him as he is to us. But we strive. I believe we all strive. Now, this morning as I talk to you, I'm going to be sharing some things about myself and my Tammy and my family. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of uncomfortable doing that, talking about myself. But I think it's important. I think it's important that we that everybody in this church understands where we came from. Some of the things that I'm going to talk about are not real good things about myself. Some of them are, you know, praise God, because of His grace, we've accomplished some things. But this morning, I just want you to understand that all of us have a story. You have a story, and that story has brought you to this place here at Bethel Worship Center. At this time in history, with all these other people who have stories, that has brought them to this place. And we have a story together. Collectively, we are Bethel Worship Center. Collectively, even beyond that, we are the body of Christ. But individually, we are a child of the Most High God. That's exciting, you see? It's exciting for us to recognize that we are a child of God. And He has been guiding and directing your life. And He's brought you to this point. And I hope you enjoy this point of your life. I want you to. I want you to enjoy the people here. I want you to enjoy this church. I want you to enjoy what God is doing in your life. Life is not always pleasant. But I believe our church experience should be a good thing. It should be something that's uplifting and encouraging. But at the same time, it should be something that builds us up and helps through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, helps us change our lifestyle into the direction that God wants us to change. He's working on every one of us.
Yes, He is.
He's making changes. Some of us are growing faster than others. Some of us need to. Some of us need to get some things out of our life more than other people do. Amen? But He is a gracious God. So as we talk about these things, I just want you to understand, we walk by faith and not by sight. And I believe everyone sitting in here has learned that in their life. That you've had all kinds of different experiences. And walking by faith and not by sight has brought you here to Bethel Worship Center, where we're going to continue walking by faith and not by sight. So I'm going to say some things here this morning. I want to get started with this. I don't want to go, and I don't want to bore you with my past life, but I do need to give you some details about where I came from. My family, my mother and my father were born again Christians, believers in Christ. They loved the Lord, and they raised me in a good family to love the Lord. I decided I didn't want to love the Lord, that I wanted to live my own life. So as a teenager, I went my own direction, lived the party life. Now, my parents believed in the Proverbs scripture, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, that doesn't mean that your children are not going to make mistakes and they're not going to do things that they shouldn't do. It means that if you train them properly, they'll always know right from wrong. Their choices are their choices. So I made some poor choices. But one good choice I made was to marry my wife, Tammy. That was, man, I looked brilliant when I made that choice. Yes, absolutely. And we got married in 76, right out of high school. And for a couple years, we lived the party life. But finally, after a couple years, in 1978, we just got sick and tired. She got tired of it long before I did. We got sick and tired of the party life. And one Wednesday evening, I just decided we were going to go to church, and I was going to dedicate my life to Christ. Well, we went to a little country church where she went to church growing up, South Bethel Methodist Church at the time. And I just went in with the intention I was going to make Christ my Savior. I knew I didn't have to go to church to do it, but I wanted people around me. So we went there, we dedicated our life, and we didn't turn back. Now, I want you to understand something. We did go to some parties after that, after we received Christ. But things were different. It wasn't the same. You know, we had a different heart than we had the last party that we went to. when we went to those parties. And, you know, those people, we just didn't have the same connection. So it didn't take very long till we wasn't in that party life any longer. And God started moving in our life. He started teaching us, and people took us under our wing. That church was a wonderful place. The pastor, Dwayne Seidenstricker, was an incredible, wonderful, loving man. He loved people. And he taught us a lot of things, and other people taught us. Daryl Norma Hawthorne took us to other churches and prayed with us, and we had Bible studies, and we just learn and grow. Listen, I want you to understand the importance of having mentors and discipling people. I don't know where we would have been if that church hadn't discipled us. They took us in and discipled us and taught us things. And we just began to grow in the Lord. And then we were preparing one year for a revival, and we were having prayer time. It wasn't too long. It might have been 79, something like that. And we were just all gathered together preparing for what we call a revival. We were going to have a special speaker in. And we were praying, and I'd been studying about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all the, you know, the things that I was taught when I was growing up was of the devil. So I had to study it out for myself and find out. And I'd come to the conclusion that it was real, it was in the Bible, and I wanted it. So we were there praying. Linda Well was there, and I asked for somebody to pray for me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she felt like she was supposed to pray for me. But there was something. There was a detail to it that we didn't understand. And that was that she was supposed to cover her head. She said, "I just feel like I got to cover my head before I pray for you." I want to tell you, she prayed for me and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But she couldn't find anything to cover her head with. But I believe one of her children was a baby at that time, Leah, Heather. She had a diaper, an unused diaper. This is important. Cloth, yeah, a cloth diaper. Back when you used cloth diapers. A cloth diaper. That was the only thing she could find. She took that and covered her head, prayed for me. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just like that. Praise God. Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Cover your head. Why? You know, why should she have to cover her head? Why is God speaking? We didn't understand. I want you to try to understand something. God does things that we do not understand until years later. And when he reveals it to us, we step back and say, "Oh, yeah, now I understand." When I became the pastor of, it was South Bethel New Testament Church at that time, Linda, the Holy Spirit revealed to Linda, she came to me later and said, "You know why I had to put that diaper on my head? It was because God knew that you were going to be my pastor, and it was submission to you." Now, if God had told her that at that time, she would have broke out laughing, I'm sure. There's no doubt about it. Because I was not ready to be the pastor of anybody at that time in my life. But God had some preparation. God had a plan.
Yes, sir. Lord, thank you, Lord.
And the reason I'm telling you these things, and I want you to hear this stuff, is that I want you to know that you're a part of something that God has ordained.
Come on.
This is God's work. It's not mine.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even know why I'm doing it. Except that I'm called. And God has equipped us to do this. And he's called you. You're here today to be a part of what God is doing in Bethel Worship Center. So Tammy and I went on. I'm trying to make this as quick as possible. We went on. We started working with the youth in the church, started growing, and the youth group started growing. We started working. Jim and Mary Huffman helped us establish a ministry called Sunrise, where we had youth crusades. We had some crusades at different facilities. They were pretty successful for our area. We had two or three hundred kids a couple of times. And, you know, it was just exciting at that time in our life. God was doing some things. But I always had this, I don't know what to call it, but maybe it was just a nagging thing inside of me that I knew there was more out there I felt like God wanted me to do. There was something else. And I was looking, and once again, we had an evangelist come to the church. This guy was a prophet. I didn't know it at the time. But he spoke a lot of things into other people's lives. But that morning, he spoke this to me. He said something to this effect. I don't have it word for word. But he said, look not to the left or to the right. A friend is going to come to you, and his desire will be for his gain and not yours. Trust the Lord. He has a work for you. Something to that effect. Not long after that, a friend did come to me, asked me to be a sales, if I was interested in being in sales. We were going to sell bereavement books to businesses. You had to travel all over the country to do this. And you had to go into the business and explain that this was going to go out to anybody in the community who'd lost a loved one. And here's the thing about it. It looked good. It was about the life of Christ. It looked like a ministry possibility. And I saw it that way. I thought, wow, well, maybe this is God. So I went to do this with the intention of trying to fulfill something inside of me. And yet, that guy's words were stilled in the back of my mind. I went there, and for 2 weeks, I was so miserable, I could hardly stand it. I can tell you this, I am not a salesman. And I don't want to be a salesman. You see, I don't stand up here and try to sell the gospel. I share the gospel. I share as much truth with you as possible. Because if I have to sell it, you're not going to buy. You're just not going to buy anything from me. You know, I know people that can sell ice cubes to Eskimos. I'm not one of them. I can hardly convince my wife to get something for me. Just not that guy. But God is so good that when you share the word and the truth of the word of God with people, they desire it. You don't have to sell them on it. They have ears to hear. When we came back from that, I realized I was off track. But not long after that, God opened the door for us to go to another ministry opportunity. We thought it was a ministry anyhow. Children's Services needed house parents for abused and neglected children. And we went, applied for that position, went through all their interviews, all their psych evaluations. And the only thing, when it was all said and done, they decided to hire us. And the only thing that they said was that after evaluating me, they said that I might be just a little bit fanatical about my religion. Praise God. I wore that as a badge.
That's right. That's right.
So we, you know, this was in 1983. And we just did our best to serve God there, ministering to those kids. We really felt like God placed us there. And then about 1985, Children's Services said they were starting to make some changes. And in their process of making these changes, this is the house that we lived in. This is a very recent picture. Do you take that, Pastor Otis? Yeah. But that was the house that we lived in there on their property. And they were going to start in that home. They were going to start a home that had rotating staff. So they no longer needed family to live in the home with the children. But that was okay because God had already started dealing with my heart to find and establish a ministry, group home ministry, separate from Children's Services. So we started doing our very best to get everything together, all the 501c3, all the paperwork, all the things necessary for the state. And we just kept doing it, you know, working and striving, getting it all together. And it came down to like just 2 weeks before we had to move out. And everything was in order except we didn't have a house. And with about 2 weeks to go, I found this facility. It needed all kinds of work, needed to be completed on the inside. It was a 6,000 square foot home that had never been completed, and we were going to have to go in there and complete it. But the thing that I want to say to you, in 2 weeks, the financing, the paperwork, the signing of the papers, everything, 2 weeks came together, and within that two-week time frame, we got it, put it all in place. God put it all in place, and we moved out of children's service the exact day that they said we needed to be out, because God is good.
Yes, He is. Hallelujah.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
That's what I know. Every one of you sitting in here, you understand what I'm talking about. But as in this church, we have to recognize that we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't get our eyes on the things that we see around here, because there is so much more to it. Look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen.
That's right.
For the things which are seen are temporary.
That's right.
But the things which are not seen are eternal. This temporary world that we live in, we all have to have food and clothing and shelter, and we like toys too. Amen? How many like toys?
Amen.
We all like toys. Nothing wrong with having toys, as long as you can pay for them. God understands that about us. But what we have to realize is that we can't get our focus on toys and things and this life, houses and all that stuff. Our focus has to stay on the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. I believe that with all my heart, or I wouldn't be here today. That is a good God. We operated that ministry for some time. And at one point, I think it was probably about 93, we realized that the state was just, they just kept pressuring us more and more not to be able to share our faith the way we really wanted to. We got to the point where we weren't allowed to take the boys to church. Or I guess from their perspective, we were forcing them to go to church. From our perspective, we were a family, and families go to church together. And on one hand, I can kind of see where they're coming from. On the other, you know, we were just trying to fulfill ministry. And they decided that, you know, we couldn't do that any longer. And it was just, we could see where it was headed. So we did decide with Jim and Mary Huffman, who was also a significant part of that. We decided that we were going to dissolve the corporation, and we did. Praise God, Good Works Homeless Shelter has that facility now. We were able to sell it to them for a good price, and the ministry continues in that home. And that's exciting to me, very exciting. Somewhere between that, I think it might have been about that same time, Pastor Dwayne Seidenstricker resigned from Bethel because of his health and his wife's health. They no longer pastored there. And that church went on for a couple years, you know, with lay speakers, people out of the congregation, and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do with a pastor, to find a pastor, and who was going to be their pastor. Well, one young man, Harold Kidder, he was just a young Christian, and they were having a Sunday school lesson. And in their Sunday school lesson, as they were, you remember now, as I explained this, they were deliberating about what to do with a pastor and finding a pastor. Trying to, you know, is it somebody here in our congregation? Or, you know, well, who are we supposed to get? And they had this study, and it was on the life of David. And in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is. Let me check that scripture to make sure I've got that right. Yeah, 2 Chronicles 17:7. It says that God took David from the sheep pen and made him king over Israel, from the sheepfold. Well, that doesn't really mean a whole lot, but for some reason, God gave Harold Kidder a revelation of what was going to happen as far as the pastor for that church. And it just hit him. He got excited, and he told other people about it. But it just, how many have ever, you've got a revelation from God, but it, and you tell other people, and they don't get it.
Right.
You know, they just don't. That happens because it's a personal revelation. God gives it to you. But God gave him a revelation, and he told people, look, God is going to choose somebody from our sheepfold to be our pastor. And that was exciting to him. And after I became pastor, he couldn't wait to come and tell me about how God had revealed to him that somebody from the sheepfold, and I came from that congregation, was going to be the pastor there. You see, I want to share these things with you this morning because I want you to know we walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
It didn't matter what things looked like. God had a plan, and we were walking in that plan. Bethel, South Bethel was walking in that plan, and I was doing my best to walk in the plan. Well, in 1995, after hearing that the church needed a pastor, I offered to be the pastor reluctantly. And I don't know whether they reluctantly accepted me or not, but they did accept me. And I became the pastor of South Bethel New Testament Church. That's where we came from, that little church. It was an exciting time for us, for the church. I think everybody had expectations and anticipations about what was going to happen. And we began on a journey together. A journey of walking by faith and not by sight. A journey that we're still on today. I want to tell you something. If I look out in this congregation this morning, if I look just with my eyes, I say to myself, God, where's all the people? But as I look out with spiritual eyes, I say, God, they're coming.
Amen, sir. Amen.
Amen. They're coming. All we have to do is be faithful. Walk. So this walk, you know, we just keep moving forward. And as I said, that was an exciting time for the church. And we just slowly grew, and things started happening. And in 1999, we realized that we needed to expand the church. Now, I don't remember exactly how many acres the church had. There was a cemetery back there, but it wasn't much. There wasn't much property. Back behind that church is a cemetery off to the side. But we made plans. So we were going to expand this church. We're going to put an addition on the side, make it big enough so that we could continue to have church there. And I got to tell you, all along, I was saying to God, God, if this is your will, I will do it, but I don't want to. I don't want to build on this hill. I don't want to come 2 miles up a gravel road to church. I don't think that's the ideal location for a church. But if that's your will, we'll do it. And we made the plans, and we put it all together, and we began to realize that the big thing was we didn't have parking. We didn't have any place to park people. So we started asking people on both sides of, would they sell us property? And, you know, one person said, yeah, we might. And it just went back and forth and drug out. And finally, one Sunday morning, it was about the same time, it was a strange atmosphere in the church that morning. As soon as we walked in, there was electricity in the place. We were having the Sunday school class at that time, and there was just electricity everywhere. Everybody was excited, and things were happening, and we were praying, and it wasn't a normal Sunday school lesson. And by the time we got to church, the place was out of control.
Glory to God.
I'm like, it was. It was just completely out of control. People were running around and shouting and praising God, and things were happening. I believe Mary Pellegrino got up at one point and said, the Holy Spirit says we're supposed to open those doors. God, you remember that, Mary? You can't forget it, can you? Amen. So somebody went back and opened the doors, and when they opened the doors, people ran out in the parking lot and was shouting and praising God. Hallelujah. It was a crazy sight. I'm going to tell you, you don't look by sight. Look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Because if you looked at that crazy mess, you would have thought, those people are nuts. But there were strongholds being torn down. There was direction being established. You know, what we didn't know was that some of the people that was opposed to us had threatened to set up a speaker and microphones and everything and stand over there and condemn the church. We didn't know that. I didn't know that. A couple people did know that. But it was interesting how God has a sense of humor, because he sent people right out in the parking lot and they were shouting and praising God, and everybody on that hill, on that ridge, heard that God was in control. After that happened, we believed, and I believe the congregation as a pretty much as a whole had a consensus that we were walking by faith and not by sight, and that the Spirit of God had said he opened the door for us to go forth, to go out of that place. So we made a decision. We were going to try to find a piece of property. My request was at least 5 acres on Route 7 someplace. Not an easy thing to do. Not many people want to sell 5 acres right on Route 7. So we looked and we searched, and finally, praise God, we ran across this piece of property that was available, had the building on it so that we could remodel. It used to be, this whole thing used to be an orchard. So at one point, this place produced fruit. At this point, this place produces fruit.
Woo, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir. Praise God. We came to purchase the property, and we purchased it with the building. It was $36,000. That was a pretty hefty price at that time for us to pay for it, but it was exactly what we were looking for, and we felt God was in it, so we could do it. We borrowed $36,000, purchased property, and we decided we were going to have a fundraiser, a one-day event. Everybody was going to come together and give all that they could give. And as we decided to do that, someone came forward and said, we will match whatever you bring in. Glory. We had that one-day event, and it was just a few dollars short of $20,000 came in.
Glory to God.
So we had $40,000, because those people matched it. $40,000, we paid off the land, and we had money to do renovations on the office, the building that we use now as the office. God is awesome, isn't he?
Yes.
I mean, I can't make this stuff up. I want you to understand that. It's too incredible what God does. Yeah. Besides, there are people in this congregation that can verify the things that I'm telling you. So, please, I'm not telling you any fabrication. I'm trying to be as on point with all this as I possibly can, because I want you to know the truth about what God is doing. We walk by faith and not by sight. If we start looking at the things that are all around us, we will get off track. We will be derailed. The enemy will have his way. But as long as we walk by faith and not by sight, we will stay on track with God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Our living God, he's on our side.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Let me see where I am in my story here. I got to try to stay in track here. Not too long right after that, after we had that exciting service, we had a sudden spurt of growth. And we realized that we needed some room pretty fast. And we knew that we were going to eventually be building on this piece of property. And so we decided that we were going to look around and see if there was any place that we could put about anywhere from 150 to 200 people. Because, you know, we were about 125 at that time. But we expected growth. We expected God to do something. So we started looking around, and we finally found the Tempest Plains Elementary School. And in November 2001, we signed a lease with the school board to rent that facility for 1 year. Now, I want you to understand, let me put some things in perspective here for you. First of all, we was leaving a church that we had no debt, nothing. Very little utilities. I mean, you see the size of that thing.
Yeah.
Not hardly anything. We were leaving that and going, and not only leaving it, there was a group of people that wanted to stay there, and we said, that's fine. We were leaving behind, burning our bridges behind us, and moving forward with God. We were walking by faith and not by sight. And we went to that facility. We had a one-year lease. We had to pay $800 a month. Now, compared to our mortgage, that's nothing. But at that time, it was huge for us. That we had to pay out $800 every month. But people believed. We believed God was directing us. We believed God was doing something in us. We believed God was growing us. And we went to that facility knowing that we couldn't go back to that building, knowing that if in a year we wasn't able to have another lease, that our church could disintegrate. It could be gone. And at the end of that year, well, it was just a couple months prior to it, they came to us, the school board came to us and said, we're not going to renew your lease. We have other plans for the building. We walk by faith and not by sight. Look not at the things which are seen. Look at the unseen things. God still had a plan. So with a couple months to go to the end of our lease, we started searching for something else. Now, you all know, in Meigs County, it's not easy to find something large enough. At that time, we were running pretty close to about 200 people. And it's not easy to find something that size. So we started looking, and we finally, Mike Norman stumbled onto the Chester School, and it was being used by Tom Carr. He had purchased it. It was used for storage. It had been setting for 5 years. Nobody had done anything to it. Windows were broken out. Bats were flying in and out of it. It was some paint peeling off the walls. When we walked in, it was a mess. But we were looking not by sight, but by faith. And when we looked at this facility, it was awesome to us. It was big. We had room for all our classes and all the ministry that we wanted to do. We had a gymnasium that we could have our worship service in. It was an incredible place. And we negotiated with Tom, and now we had to have faith, not for $800 a month, but $1,500 a month. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, here's the incredible thing, I think. More incredible than just, you know, being able to make our payment every month and paying our utility bills. By the time we signed a lease and decided that we were going to move into this place, we had 1 month to be able to renovate it, paint it, clean it up, put new windows in before we could move in. the church pulled together.
Yes, yes.
We came together as a body. And we accomplished that goal. We, by the time the lease was up, we were ready to move. We just moved right in, never missed a beat. And God was faithful and continues to be faithful to his people. He's still on the throne. And we're still walking by faith and not by sight. We're going to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. During that same period of time, we were getting ready to break ground here. And 2002, we decided we were going to have a groundbreaking service. We brought everybody together, and we were having a picnic and, you know, kind of wiener roast kind of thing, and dedication and groundbreaking, and we just having a good time. But one of the things that I wanted to share with people was the reality that we had had a lot of opposition up to this point. And I wanted them to realize that that probably wasn't going to come to an end. Opposition is part of ministry. If you're doing anything from God, it's not easy. The enemy wants to stop it. He wants to put a halt to it. So if you're on the right track with God, you can expect some opposition. We had had lots of opposition. So we decided in July to have a groundbreaking in July, and we set the date to the 21st. No particular reason. That was just a good time for us to have it. And I brought everybody together, and we started talking after we'd had some fellowship and food. And I wanted to encourage everybody. I wanted them to realize that this opposition wasn't going to stop us. That we were going to keep moving. We were going to keep accomplishing. And God had given me a word out of Haggai, a scripture out of Haggai. And Haggai, the reason that I felt it was important was because the people of the Jewish people had come back to Jerusalem after their Babylonian captivity, and they had started the building of the temple, and they encountered opposition. And for 16 years, they didn't build. And Haggai the prophet and a couple other prophets came along and said, it's time for you to get back to building the kingdom of God and building God's temple. So I wanted to encourage everybody, and as I was going through this, I began to read, and I hadn't really paid that much attention to it, but I read the first verse in Haggai chapter 2, and it says something to this effect. It said, and the word, maybe I should just go to the scripture, because I don't want to misquote it. Okay, here's what it says. I wasn't really focusing on this scripture. I was focusing on the fact that God wanted us to continue moving forward. He wanted us to accomplish this task. And then it said this, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying. And I went on reading and encouraging and lifting people up. And I noticed people were just kind of stirring around. They were just kind of whispering back and forth. And you know, that can be a little irritating when you're trying to share something with people. I'm just being real with you. Amen? So I just stopped. I said, what's going on? And somebody said, Pastor, do you realize that this is the seventh month and the 21st day of the month? I hadn't realized. I hadn't put it together. I don't think any of us had really put it together until we actually were together reading that scripture. God was saying to us, it's time to accomplish his will. And we moved forward from that point. You know, lots of things have happened. One of the most recent things is in 2010, I was praying and I was asking God, what's next? What do you want us to do? And I felt like he just dropped in my spirit. His community center in Chester. God, you know, we've been out of that place for 5 years. You know what it looked like the last time we went for 5 years. We don't have any money, God. You guys have arguments with God like that?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. We just don't have any money, God. You know, it was one of those tough times we were going through. God's always been faithful. He's never forsaken us. But, you know, sometimes you have abundance. Sometimes you're going through a lean time. God is always faithful, and he's ready to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It was just one of those times. And I just said, God, you know, what do you want us to do? And it just kept being there. You know, it was in my heart, community center. And one of my desires was to do an upward basketball program. And I knew we could do it there. So after some time of deliberating with God, I said, okay, God. Picked up the telephone and I called Tom Carr, who owned the property. And I said, Tom, you know, that building's just sitting down there. What are you doing with it? And he said, well, I've got a few things stored in it, but not really doing anything with it. I said, well, you know, I really feel like God is telling me that we need to do a community center there in that facility. And he said, oh, well, that, you know, might be a possibility. I said, but here's the clincher. We don't have any money, Tom. And he said, oh, well, I'll think about it. And that was about the extent of our conversation. 1 year later, almost, I don't have exact time frame, but within that year, but it was a long time, he called me up and said, you know, I've been thinking about what you said, and you guys just go in there, take care of the facility, and you can use it.
Yes, hallelujah.
Wow. And you know, right now, today, praise God. God just opened the door for that to happen. We have upward basketball there. We have the thrift store that is being operated there. Praise God for Jill and everybody that works in that ministry. We have a food pantry that's being operating in there. We have multiple community organizations that are being using that facility. I'm telling you, it is incredible what God did.
Yes.
And once again, people went in, we needed to clean and put up new basketball hoops and all kinds of stuff that had to be done, clean. You know, once again, you had to run the bats out. We're still running bats out. It's just the way it is. It's an old building. But ministry is taking place in this place. Because you are a part of it. Because you choose to support Bethel Worship Center. You choose to make Bethel Worship Center your place of worship. Uh-huh. Things are happening.
Amen.
You're a part of it. And I just want to thank God for each and every one of you. That you're here today. That you're a part of what we're doing.
Amen.
And we have opportunity to minister. I want to share something with you. Because people are involved with our impact stewardship campaign, we are able to support ministries. We're able to support the community center. We're able to have the thrift store, and you know, we have that facility. We're able to do upward basketball. I don't know if you're familiar with upward basketball, but upward basketball is a Christian basketball program. The coaches pray with the kids. The coaches give lessons to the kids at every practice. They pray with the kids. They teach them about God. It's not just basketball. The emphasis is spiritual. It's life. It's giving them the life that comes from the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the purpose of it. That's why I'm so excited about it. Because you choose to be a part of the Impact Stewardship Campaign, we're able to have that facility for the thrift store and the food pantry. But there are so many more things that are taking place in this ministry. Because you're a part of the stewardship, the Loyal Hearts Impact Program, We're able to help Good Works ministry to in our area in Athens that ministers to the homeless. We're able to support Mid Valley Christian School. Praise God we're able to do that. It's such an important ministry. We're able to support the Pregnancy Resource Center every month. We're able to support Celebrate Recovery, which helps people recover from addictions of all kinds. Worldwide, we support Jewish Voice, Life Outreach, Poor Children's Assistance Program in Haiti, and Carrie Roush, who's ministering in Haiti. We support the ACLJ, who are making a stand for Christian liberty and supporting Christians in the court system. We support Vision for Africa. These ministries, we are able to support them because you choose to tithe, give offerings, and to be a part of the Impact Stewardship Campaign. Amen. Every month from this church, a little over $700 goes out to other ministries because you're a part of it. I think that's incredible. That's just the ministries to support. But you also, every year, you make sure that people in your congregation, if they have needs, their needs are met. Amen. Through love gifts, through our benevolence fund. We give away, between that and people in the community that need help, somewhere around $2,500 every year. Ministry is happening here in this place and through this place. Ministry that you're a part of. This morning, we're going to have our stewardship campaign. Billy, would you go have the children come on in? Appreciate that. I hope this morning that you are hearing my heart when I talk about these things. Because my life and my position here at Bethel is no more important than your life and your position here at Bethel Worship Center. It takes all of us. I just wanted to share things with you so that you would know that we have a history of walking by faith and not by sight. We have a history of that, and we intend to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. We're not going to look at the things which are seen, because those things will just destroy you. We're going to look at the things that are eternal, and we're going to recognize the power of Almighty God. This morning, we've asked everyone to come prepared to make a commitment to our stewardship campaign. Joy, is there anybody that needs a commitment card? Maybe you forgot yours and you'd like to have one back here. Okay, there's a couple. As I have been saying from the beginning of this, it's all about you and God, what God has called you to do, what He's speaking to your heart. Our desire is that we work together with loyal hearts to accomplish God's kingdom work. And I don't believe it's about the amount. You know, if all you could afford and God spoke to you to give $2 a month, that's okay. That's just your part. And that's what we're looking for. We're just looking for people who recognize that they want to be a part, a loyal heart. Maybe God spoke to you to give more. don't know. I know what God spoke to me a couple years ago to give, and we've been consistently giving that. I want you to understand, it hurts. Many of you give, and it hurts. I know that. It can be painful to do what God tells you to do. But you cannot outgive your God. He always promises that he's going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. That he's going to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. That whatever seed you sow, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Give and it shall be given. Jesus told us, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together. Overflowing will men give unto your bosom. And it goes on to say, because with the same measure that you meet with all, it'll be measured back to you. Hallelujah. That's the sowing and reaping principle that we cannot get away from. It's part of life. It's part of natural life. It's part of spiritual life. God created it from the very beginning. Praise God. We get to be a part of his kingdom work here in Meigs County. I hope this morning that I've been able to share with you my heart, my desire. I just want to serve God. And I just want people around me that want to serve God. I want to see things accomplished for God's kingdom. I believe that we've done a lot in the past and we're doing a lot right now, but there's more to do in the future. There's much to be done. God said, God told Daniel that in these last days, his people would be strong and do exploits. Incredible things. Things unheard of. Power of God released in our lives. This morning, I want to ask everyone to stand with me. Hallelujah. We're just going to close out our service. Can we get the lights down a little bit? That's fine. Hallelujah.
Pastor Rob.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's do it. Yes. Yes, let's do that. Well, as people come forward, okay? I'm just going to ask you, Pastor Otis is going to sing through this song. He says it's perfect for what we're doing. I'm just going to ask people, as you will, to come up, put it in the heart baskets. Those are great, aren't they? Joy came up with those, wouldn't you know? Praise God. Give from your heart. That's all we're asking this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you touch people. You know, some maybe they haven't been here enough to be prepared, and that's okay, Lord. We don't want anybody to feel like there's any pressure. We just want them to know we love them and we want them to be a part. This morning, those who participate in this, Father, I just thank you for touching your people. Today, we're going to finish this service with this song and with our giving. And then we're going to go down and have an exciting celebration, a picnic. Father, we ask for your blessing on that food. We ask for your blessing upon this time. And today, Father God, we are going to celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come forward.
It's a new day. Fresh anointing is coming my way. It's a season of power and prosperity.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised.
If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.